3, and a couple of issues for the purposes of looking at our agenda. The way that we're going to be taking issues today is first have a work session on introduction of speaker-approved bills, then consideration of speaker-approved measure drafting requests. Follow that with Senate Bill 212. We are not going to have a hearing today on Senate Bill 332, and then we will finish up with House Bill 2813. So let's open up a work session for possible introduction of speaker-approved bills. Representative Flores.
Mr. Chair, I move Legislative Council Drafts 3594 and 3612 be introduced as a committee bills.
Senator Flores has moved Legislative Council Drafts 3594 and 36112 be introduced as committee bills. Any discussion? Any objection?
Mr. Chair, we can do them collectively. We don't have to them all the time.
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Questions? Any objections? Not? So ordered. Representative Flores. This is consideration of speaker-approved measure drafting requests.
Mr. Chair, I move the House Rules and Public Affairs Committee request that Legislative Council prepare the legislative draft as presented in her letter to Speaker Minnis dated May 5, 2003.
Representative Flores has moved that the House Rules and Public Affairs Committee request that Legislative Council prepare the legislative draft as presented in the letter to Speaker Minnis dated May 5, 2003. Any discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure that I've seen that letter, so I'm not sure what the subject matter is.
There is.
Oh, it's all in there. Oh, okay. I have it now. Thank you.
Okay. And a reminder, colleagues, this is not a commitment on anyone's part to vote for anything here except just asking LC to draft an actual bill. Any objection?
Mr. Chair, I don't have an objection. Explain to me on number 5 that says see House Bill 3575. Is that a duplication?
It is. Yes, it's there is the context of this drafting request is it's a version of House Bill 3575, and there are various sections of that House Bill that would be part of
same.
The draft.
Okay,
right.
That's fine.
Can I comment, Mr. Chair?
Representative Close.
That is a bill that is in the Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs Committee, and they have chosen to go another route on the bill, so that is what is happening
okay.
with this bill.
All right.
Further discussion? Any objection? Not so ordered. Now open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 212. And Mr. Buckley? Mr. Tai, do you want to come up as well? Thank you. Mr. Buckley?
Sure. Chair Doyle, members of the committee, for the record, my name is William Buckley. I'm the manager of the firearms unit with the Identification Services Section of the Oregon State Police, and I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 212. Back in April of 2001, the U.S. Department of Justice Criminal Justice Information Services Division Access Integrity Unit did an audit of Oregon's ORSs. Out of that audit and of the many statutes that were reviewed, there were 4 that did not meet the criteria mentioned in Public Law 92-544. In order to comply with 92544, certain parameters had to apply, and the criteria is listed on the testimony sheet. Basically, Senate Bill 212 adds the appropriate language to these statutes to satisfy the requirements of Public Law 92544. The amendment presented today addresses additional concern that the FBI should not retain fingerprint cards submitted as part of the application process. The language offered is consistent with similar Oregon revised statutes that exist and have been approved by the Access Integrity Unit of the federal government. That concludes my testimony, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
And Mr. Tai, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. Chair Doyle, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Scott Tai. I'm the Standards and Certification Division Director. And today I've provided written testimony, which is fairly short and straightforward. We're one of the four agencies that do not have legislative authority to run criminal background checks. For polygraph examiners, which are certified by our division, they must be licensed, and part of the licensing process is that they must report any criminal convictions to our division. Without the change that's being requested here, we would not be able to conduct the background checks to verify if, in fact, they have a criminal conviction on their record or not. So with the passage of this bill, it will enable us to submit fingerprints to the state police, who can then forward it on to the FBI to conduct the background checks. Part of the amendment to the original bill is that the bill was modified to assure that the Department of Public Safety would designate staff that would only specifically be authorized to handle the background information, and those staff that we have identified would be only those staff that are LEED certified, those people that would have access to check background checks. And with that, that's my testimony, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Looks like we're letting you off. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
No one else scheduled to testify, so we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 212 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 212. Representative Flores.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 212 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores has moved Senate Bill 212 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? None? Let's call the roll, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Both aye.
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 Chair votes aye. And any objection to putting this on the consent calendar? Seeing none, let's go to consent. And closes the work session then on Senate Bill 212 and open up a work session on House Bill 2813. Representative Close, talk a little bit about these amendments.
Do I need to go to the. Can I do it from here?
You can do it from here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I appreciate that you're having a work session on House Bill 2813. We have two sets of amendments, the dash ones and the dash twos. Again, the bill would require proof of citizenship for registering to vote the first time, and it's already a law. You have to be a U.S. citizen to vote in Oregon elections. The dash one amendment requires applicants to supply evidence of citizenship and specifies what that evidence is. It allows the county clerks to review basically DMV licensing records for the purpose of determining whether that condition has been met. If people are not getting a driver's license, then the clerks would still have to take that information at the counter. I have checked with the clerks on this, and they, as long as they can access the databases, they feel comfortable with that. Again, it's for just first-time registering, and it declares an emergency. Then the dash twos are something that the clerks asked further clarification on. And the dash twos include the requirement that there is a database and that they have to be given the opportunity to access it. And there is some question about what the fiscal would be on that. The fiscal on the dash ones, I believe, is around $70,000.
because DMV would not have to actually enter this in a database. They could do this by having, by designing the driver's license to indicate that the citizenship requirement had been met. The dash twos would go farther and talk about a database, and that this would be a new field on that database, which I believe they already have, but they would have to do some work to make it fit this bill. That makes it a lot less expensive for the clerks, and they asked for this revision. They also asked that the notice be taken out of the bill, and the notice said that a notice had to be mailed to people that they were registered. Because they sent out a registration card, I felt that they had a good argument. We don't need a notice as well. That just adds to the expense of this. So the notice that the voter would get, in other words, would be when the card arrives that you are registered. It's your registration card. And I did not put a date for that. I just said that that should be as soon as possible, trying to give the clerks some flexibility, because they said these typically all come at the same time, and sometimes they like to hold them back and get all the cards printed at one time because they get a lower price on the printing. And so they don't want to have to be getting these out within 7 days. I believe the bill, the first bill talked about 7 days, had a limit. And so you have your choice of the dash ones or the dash twos. I guess I prefer the dash twos, and my hope is that some of the HAVA money that we set in another bill that we set up the trust fund with, that money would qualify, since many of these provisions, similar provisions, are in the federal legislation that was passed last October.
With the dash twos being a, I guess, a different component for DMV purposes, I think it's appropriate to have Kelly Taylor come forward and answer a couple of questions the committee may have.
For the record, Mr. Chair, I'm Kelly Taylor with the Department of Transportation.
Okay. Any open comments?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I missed the first part of it. I apologize. I'm a few minutes late. I did talk with Representative Close a little bit about it. The least expensive option is the original bill, and that's the one that has about a $72,000 price tag on it. And the reason that's the least expensive, I'm catching my breath from running over here. The reason it's the least expensive is because we would be, well, today, for example, a transaction, we ask someone if you'd like to register to vote, and they say yes or no. But if they say yes, under this bill we would say, and this is your first time registering to vote. And if they said yes, then we would have to look for the documents that are the acceptable evidence of citizenship. And once we had done that, we would say, okay, you can go ahead and fill out the card then, because we view those documents right there. And then those cards would be turned over to the election division, which they are today. I mean, the same thing happens today, except for the part about this is your first time registering to vote and looking for evidence. And so that is the least expensive, because we would go through that process. We would say, you know, Kelly, you know, can you show me your evidence of citizenship? I would do that. I'd fill out the card. If I couldn't do that, I wouldn't fill out the card. Okay? It just would end right there. We'd have to tell me, Kelly, I'm sorry, we can't have you fill out the card today. You'll need to contact the election division with your proof of citizenship. So there's some time there to have a little bit of a conversation, but not much. And that is about $72,000 in the biennium. Giving access, whether we are updating a database or not, is expensive. And the reason it's expensive is it is, first of all, gets a little technical. The driving record, or the records that we have, the fields of information, the size of the record, the component, is full. And so if we try to expand it, it will be very, very expensive. If we try to build a separate little database in which it just sort of matches up Kelly's name and her driver's license and her date of birth, we know we've got a good match, and then her citizenship, U.S., Mexico, Canada, wherever she's a citizen of, because it doesn't require a U.S. citizen, it requires I figure out where she's a citizen of, and put that on that little database. We have to hire some consultants, private contractors to build that system for us. That is bigger than what we would have staff to do. We really don't have that many data processing staff that work on separate projects like that. So you pay the market for that. That's about $100 an hour out there to hire someone to help you do that. So building access and creating a database is over $100,000. So the least expensive thing to do is the original bill. And as I explained to Representative Post, if we go ahead and build the external database piece to store the Mexico, Canada, Switzerland, U.S., or wherever I'm from, we still had to go through all the other process to say, would you like to vote? Would you like to register to vote? And then get the citizenship. We still have gone through that. So it doesn't go down there. You just add to it by building the access from the database. So, and it is not something that would be done quickly. It certainly wouldn't be done by the time the bill would become effective. I know that. So of all the options, and between one and two, there's not a whole bunch of difference to us. It appears that the difference is with the elections division. So for us, it's still about $120,000 extra for dash one or dash two. The least expensive is the original bill.
Questions? Representative Close.
I question whether you couldn't combine fields on a database in some way to streamline this, so that you could just simply add this new field. I would point out that this is a constitutional requirement that you be a citizen to vote, so it really is very appropriate that DMV be checking this and at least keep a record of this. I guess I'm really surprised that they're not even asking this at this point, because it is a constitutional requirement to vote. So, to me, I guess if the committee has a problem with the computer, the money that would be spent for a new database, we should bring in somebody who has looked at the database, a computer expert, and verify that this couldn't be easily added. I don't think we need to document every country a person is from. I think we just need to document citizenship, citizen, non-citizen, citizen, illegal alien, legal alien. Maybe, we would have letters for those, but it'd just be an extra field.
Mr. Chair, if I might explain a little bit. And I don't use maybe all the proper terms. I'm not talking about a whole new computer system or a whole new database. I'm talking about a field of information to be able to enter that then is stored, and when the county clerk or somebody would be accessing it, they would key in most likely the driver's license number. We would probably have to change the voter reg card to include that, so they have an access point to know Kelly's number. They would key that in. It then pulls the data and formats it on the screen to them. They're not actually going to look at the driving record, because truly on that driving record, the fixed fields of information, those records were built quite a while ago, and they are full. So we would be storing it off the driving record and pulling it together and displaying it on a screen. That's really what I'm trying to describe here. Not a whole new database, but storing it separate then and pulling it in. And the only reason, Mr. Chair and Reverend Close, that I mentioned the different countries is because when we read the bill, it doesn't specify U.N. citizenship. It just says evidence of citizenship. And we're assuming that if they said if it was Mexico or whatever, they prove where they're a citizen from, we note that, and then the county election clerks would look at it and say, U.S., not U.S., and then know what to do. I mean, you could probably change it to U.S. or non-U.S., and they could go there. We still run into the same problem. We don't have information on the fixed segment of the driving record to do that with. So we'd be floating it and then pulling it together to display it to the clerk is what we'd be doing.
Mr. Chair, could I ask another question? I'm thinking of a computer screen. I'm thinking of the person's name, and maybe it says, their address and then
sure.
Oregon. I don't know why you couldn't add it in the Oregon field, C for citizen or NC for non-citizen. You could put it in the same field. You're just adding a notation.
Mr. Chair and Reverend Close, the folks that do our records that know it, I'm not a computer expert, I'm the first one to admit that, they tell me the fields are full with the data that's there stored. So where you display it is something different than where you actually store it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Could you not store it with the address, though? Couldn't it be in the address field as just an extra two letters?
Mr. Chair and Reverend Close, I could ask them, but from what they're telling me, those data fields are full, so I don't know. I could ask them.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. It sounds to me as though what you're telling us is that you have files now containing records.
Correct.
The records are the record space that you have available in the file is full with the information that you already collect, and that you would have to build a new file with some of the same information, i.e. driver's license numbers and maybe the name, in order to add an additional data point that would go into a new data field, because the record space you have now in the existing file is full. Is that a fair summary of what you're saying?
Mr. Chair and Representative Barnhart, how was it explained to me, is that the driver license master file record and its elements are full.
Right.
All the spots for coding are full. And to try to expand that would be very exorbitant, way more than what I'm quoting right now.
Right.
What they say is they can off the, I'm going to use some jargon terms here, CICS record, they could put it there, give the counties an inquiry code. It would pull from the driver's license master file the existing name, driver's license, date of birth, address, whatever you'd like, match it up to the code that's floating in the CICS record, and match it up and show it to them, so that they would get a screen that would show them that. So we can get there, but it's not inexpensive.
If I understand, most of that is for programming.
Mr. Chair and Representative Barnhart, yes, it is all programming.
Okay.
Of that part, yes.
Of that part, yeah. And then a different subject, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
A minute ago you said something about driver's licenses, and it went by really fast. I thought you said something like that the county clerk would have to collect driver's license numbers and keep those numbers, or something like that, something to that effect. Can you say more about that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Barnhart, well, what we were thinking about, on the system prints out the formatted voter reg card in the format the Secretary of State's office has it go into. And we would have to put something on there, some key identifier for them to be able to key back into our system to find the record. Now, it can be name and date of birth. You can do search that way. But the problem is you can come up with multiple people, frankly, with the same name and date of birth. I mean, it can, you think you're unique, but you're really not. Especially if you have a name like Kelly Taylor. So we would probably work with them to print out probably like the driver's license number on the voter reg card portion, so that when they were going to access it, they could go in with the key unique identifier for that person, using the name and date of birth as a second identifier once they pulled up the screen that they've got on the voter reg card. Yeah, we probably would need to do that. You would need to modify the voter reg card.
And then the last question on this topic, I think this is the last question. Would that information then become part of the voter file record in the county elections office?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, it might. You'd have to check with the Secretary of State to see whether or not when they would provide that information, if they would block that part out. I don't know. It would certainly be on the document initially.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I might, there was one thing I forgot to add to tell the committee. The thing to remember about this, and I don't know what all you want the database for future checking or something like that, but realizing that you're only asking this for people that are registering the first time, your database is going to be pretty limited. It will never be fully populated, is what I'm trying to say, against the driving population of the driver license file. We see folks once every 8 years. It's what the license the license cycle is. And so it would probably be several generations before enough of us die off that don't have it on, and enough people have it on, before you have a fully populated database. I don't know if that's important or not, but I just wanted to bring that up. We thought about that. We thought, gosh, you're only asking this first time registering. Lots of people are registered to vote, and so they would not be in our database with their citizenship mark.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I would tell you that the reason we did that was to not add to the expense of having to do it for people that are already registered. And it's a fairness issue, I think, as well, because they're already registered. And then you'd be in a position of taking away registration. I would question the fairness of that.
Yeah. Just wanted to let you know it would be a limited use database.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions for Ms. Taylor? Okay. Thank you.
Chair.
Thank you. We're so close.
I move the -2 amendment in House Bill 2813.
Representative Close has moved the dash two amendments to House Bill 2813. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Barnhart.
Are we planning to get a fiscal impact statement on the dash twos? Or do we have one already?
There has not been a fiscal prepared on this yet. The indication is that it is greater than the dash ones, and according to Representative Close, that's then looking at approximately $70,000. So based on that cost, we know that this will be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. So for purposes of the policy issue, that's, I think, where our discussion is today. And as this, if this does move out of committee, it will have a referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Okay. Any objection to the dash two amendments?
Yes.
Okay, let's call the roll.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
No.
Representative Close?
No sign.
Representative Forrest?
Aye.
Representative Lynn Anderson?
No.
Representative Gerber?
Aye.
Chair Boyle?
Chair votes aye. Dash twos are adopted. And Representative Close?
Chair Doyle, I move House Bill 2813 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a... Do you pass recommendation?
Okay. And we're straight referral to Ways and Means. Is that, okay.
We got it.
Okay. Representative Close has moved House Bill 2813 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. This is a bill which will significantly add to the difficulty of first-time voters to register, and it therefore inevitably will reduce the number of voters who register to vote, of citizens who register to vote in Oregon. There has been no showing that the bill is necessary to prevent fraud by those who are non-citizens registering to vote. I think the bill is unnecessary and in fact dangerous because it will reduce the likelihood to some extent, I don't know how much, of citizens who are entitled to vote and should vote from actually registering to vote. Also, I call the chair's attention or the committee's attention to the letter from Mr. Chamoff, in which he made a number of other objections, and especially I refer to the three items on the second page of that letter. I'm concerned about number three, in which he raises the issue that under the amendment. Well, in fact, he may be referring to dash one, so maybe I'm out of line here. I'm not sure. On this one, he was concerned about the 20-day voter registration deadline and the language in the dash ones that you're not registered until this checking has actually been completed. And in fact, I note on page four that it's also in the dash two, so I guess the criticism applies to the dash twos as well. I think there are a number of problems with this bill, and it should not be passed out at this time. I intend to vote no.
Okay. And just to clarify, or not to clarify members, but just to acknowledge two issues for the record that I neglected to place in the record. There's a letter from Portland State University that is on your file, and then also a letter from Ms. Ruth Bendel, an email, that for purposes of the record, those shall be entered without objection. And... other discussion? Representative Monis Anderson.
Thank you. Representative Barnhart pretty much covered what I was going to say. All of the testimony that came to us, there is still no proof or indication that when people are registering on their initially on the registration form, they do sign, "I am a citizen of the United States." That's what is on the present registration form. I am not convinced that there are a lot of people who are illegals that will want to vote. If they are illegals, usually they do not want to have their name and address on any document anyway. When I was door knocking and campaigning in particular, I'd be going and knocking on doors, and people would come, "Oh, I'm not a registered voter." you know, and so don't talk to me. So I will be voting against this bill because I agree that it is not needed.
Further discussion. Representative Berger.
Well, I think we have a great country, and I think we welcome a lot of people into it, not all who are friendly to us. I'd like to go back to the comment that actually you're supposed to be a U.S. citizen to vote in this country anyway. And I think there's a responsibility in voting. I think we have made things too easy in our country, and I think that the only part that bothers me is what is said that is going to be required money-wise to do this, and I'm almost ready to tell DMV to go back to a card file because if we have to pay $100,000 every time we add a number onto a file, I think we're all in trouble. We've lost our common sense. But as far as requiring citizenship for people registering to vote, I have absolutely no problem with that. And I think before long, with Homeland Security, we may be having more hoops to jump through than ever. So I have no problem with the bill.
Further discussion?
Mr.
Representative Foots.
I'd like to address just a couple statements that were made. First, I'd like to say I think it's important we maintain the integrity of our election process. Because we have a mail ballot, we're not able to ask for ID at the polls, and many states do ask for ID at the polls. And those that don't, many of those states are moving, and they have legislation to ask for ID at the polls. So this is not something that we're just dealing with, but we are unique in that we have the mail ballot, so we have to come at it a different direction. I wanted to call to the attention of the committee, and Representative Doyle has a copy of this. I don't know if you do, but Fred Neal originally testified from the Elections Division that there had been no complaints, but then he amended that, sent a letter, and he sent a list of several complaints of people who had registered to vote who were not citizens, and they did cancel some of those registrations or ask for additional data. They didn't prosecute many of these because there was no intent to violate the law, in their opinion, but there were cancellations. So it is happening. And I think it is difficult to determine in a country like we have who is a citizen and who isn't, because so many of us have ethnic background, and that's the greatness of our country. But we also have to be sure that those who have gone through the hurdle of getting citizenship then have the privileges that offers, which is voting is a privilege, if that is reserved to those people who are citizens. And again, you know, I encourage anybody that isn't and wants to vote, you know, to become a citizen. And I think that's a good thing. I don't have any problem with that. But I think we need to maintain the integrity of the system. It's important. So that's why I ask for your vote on this.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the motion before the committee is a do pass as amended and be referred to Ways and Means. So we'll call the roll.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Chair votes aye, and bill is passed. If ultimately comes from Ways and Means, our recommendation would be that Representative Close carry this bill, but not needing to do that at this point.
Thank you.
That closes our work session on House Bill 2813. And colleagues, we are done for the day. Rules Committee is adjourned.